Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. This is an intro to the video I'm sharing with you today because the video that I have for you today I actually recorded back in June, and there have been a handful of times when I have recorded a video, edited it, had Scott watch it, get ready to upload it, and all of a sudden I have no peace to upload it or share it, and that was the case with this video. So never shared it, moved on, forgot about it. Well, this morning I edit all my videos in iMovie, and so I needed more space on my laptop, and so I went into iMovie to clear out past videos, and I stumbled upon this video and realized, oh, this is the one that I never shared. So I started watching it. And as I'm listening to it, I was like, wow, this is actually happening now. The things that I shared on, which you'll see, I talked about how like there is definitely a revival of women coming to understand their beautiful role and purpose in being at home and in being a homemaker and in being a wife and a mom, and just how exciting that is. And with the recent events of what happened to Charlie Kirk and with Erica Kirk, you can clearly see that there is now more excitement than I believe ever that we've seen for the home, for the family. The video carries on, and there is a part in the video where I say something to the effect of, you'll hear Christians talk about biblical femininity, and they will frame it in a way of, you can be a biblically feminine woman in whatever you do. So you can do whatever you want and still be feminine. And the example that I gave was a CEO. And when I watched this, I was like, oh no, I cannot share this because people are going to think I'm targeting or talking about Erica Kirk. And when I recorded this video, nothing had happened. I recorded this back in June. So I do want to just be clear. Whenever I give examples, I am not targeting anyone. Scott and I, we like to recognize patterns. So we're recognizing patterns and sharing patterns. I'm never targeting someone. I mean, people I know in real life watch my videos, so that would be very awkward. But in general, it's about pattern recognition. And of course, I've said many times, there's always exceptions, there's nuances. So when it comes to the CEO comment, I do feel like I am going to share my thoughts on the recent events of Erica Kirk being now the CEO of Turning Point, which I think in her situation, it was her husband's will for her, in case something that, from what they say, in case something would ever happen to him, he wanted her to be the CEO. And to me, it makes sense that she would have a superior role. That way, the mission that he built doesn't get derailed. And so, praise God, she can keep the focus of what his mission was all about without someone else coming in and derailing it. At the same time, my prayer is that she would still be able to do and function as the woman God created her to be. That just because a tragedy happened to her husband, that she is not pushed into an androgynous role. Because I don't think that her own husband would have ever wanted that for her. And so praying that men would step up into the roles that God had made men to do and function as, and that way she can still prioritize being a mom to her children, and that God would bring God-fearing men to continue on the mission that Charlie was doing, and that Erica can still be a helpmeet to that mission and carry on his legacy. I mean, when it comes to androgyny, you can just see, again, I've spoken out about androgyny before, but you can just see how androgynous of a culture that we live in, because this tragedy has happened, and all of a sudden conservatives I've seen be like, Erica Kirk for president. And it's like, no, that is literally, her own husband would have never wanted her to be president. That is not God's ways. That is not God's design. That is not for her good. That is not for the country's good. You can't just take a woman and place her in a man's role and be like, go on, like, go do this. Yeah. So now that that is said, just keep that in mind. This was recorded in June, but I have peace about sharing it with you today, and I pray that it blesses and encourages you. Hello, welcome back. I hope that you're having a lovely day today. We are carrying on with the series of biblical femininity, building our home economy. I was just over here washing dishes, praising God, singing, and have you ever just started singing and then you start thanking God for something as you're singing? And what I was singing and thanking God for was that we are a generation of women who are wanting to be good at what God designed us for. In one of the podcasts that Scott and I recorded, he said something that just resonated with me when he said it. He said, "This is the revival that's happening, is men and women embracing their God-given nature." I'm probably butchering it. He said it in a much more eloquent way, but that was the basis of what he was saying, was that is the revival that's happening. There is a desire, especially amongst the younger generation, to embrace their God-given design. When you think of God as designer, creator, and he created and designed Adam and Eve, man and woman, with a distinct, unique function and purpose for each of them, because it was for their unique good. And for all of history, the enemy has tried to lie to us, to get us to think God is withholding good from us and try to be something other than our God-intended design. And that has caused anxiety, chaos, confusion. Actually, I'm gonna read this de Tocqueville quote. I was gonna do this video without notes, but I really wanna read this de Tocqueville quote. So he was a Frenchman alive in the 1800s, and in 1835, he wrote Democracy in America, Volume 2. He says, "There are people in Europe who, confounding together the different characteristics of sexes, would make man and woman into beings not only equal, but alike. They would give to both the same functions, impose on both the same duties, grant to both the same rights. They would mix them in all things, their occupations, their pleasures, their business. It may readily be conceived that by thus attempting to make one sex equal to the other, both are degraded, and from so preposterous a medley of the works of nature, nothing could ever result but weak men and disorderly women." And if you look around, you can see that that really is the pressing concern, is the essence of weak men and disorderly women in our culture today. And when that happens, like I said in my last video, the home breaks down, the family breaks down, and then the nation breaks down. And it's true. Once the breakdown of the home happened, we have seen, it's taken years, but we have now seen the fruit of that breakdown. But the good news is there is a revival. There is this desire for women to be good at being cheerful helpers to our husbands. There is this desire for women to be home with her children, for women to be good at managing her home economy. We haven't been trained in these things. We don't know how to do them, but there is this desire. There is a hunger. There is a reason homemaking is trending. There's a reason biblical femininity is trending. And whenever something gets trendy, there will be people that come out of the woodworks that try to grift on those topics. And it's interesting to me because even with the topic of biblical femininity, you will have people who talk about biblical femininity, but then they'll say, "We need women as CEOs being feminine and having biblical femininity." And my mind is just blown because I'm like, we want to talk about biblical femininity, but we're not getting to the root of our functions as women is going to be different than the function of men. And is it in a woman's best interest to be a CEO of a large company? And so that's the direction I want to go with today's video when it comes to androgyny. Because when you have a woman in a position such as CEO, lawyer, police officer, military, you are putting her in a position that, like Samuel Osgood said, requires a man's sterner and ruder nature, which automatically takes her out of her femininity and forces her into masculinity. And when it comes to positions like police officers and military, the whole reason the military and police force were created was for the protection of women and children. So the moment that you take women and you put them into the role of those positions, you are making a mockery of that position, because the whole reason that position was created, designed, was intended for the protection of women and children. So it doesn't make any sense to have women and children in those military positions that God has designed men to be able to do. God created man to be protector, provider. That is what God has put in the nature of man. God has put in us as women being a nurturer, preserving, receiving provision and making something amazing from it. There are things that we are innately good at as women. And when you have a man being masculine and a woman being feminine, there is this amazing homeostasis that happens where things are in alignment. I felt that with my own marriage, and I did not realize how androgynous that I was when I married Scott. But I spent my entire adulthood, I was very feminine all the way up until I was 20, even when I was in college, which I don't think university is created to help a woman thrive in society, and that I might touch on in this video, the problems with girls entering into university systems and how it often does not set them up for success in their God-given roles and purposes. But for me, the first year and a half, the school that I was at, I actually was able to keep my femininity. It wasn't until I transferred to the Christian college, ironically, that I became more masculine and more androgynous, even down to what I was wearing. So when I transferred to the Christian school that I went to, it was halfway through my sophomore year, and I was so sincere, and at the same time, I deeply wanted to be married. That was the deepest desire of my heart. I wanted to be married, and it wasn't happening. And so I all of a sudden kind of moved into the direction of this mindset that dating or marriage is going to distract me from God's calling on my life, and feeling guilty for liking boys and feeling like liking guys were taking me away from my true love of Jesus. And so I went pretty extreme of, okay, I need to focus only on Jesus. What does Jesus want me to do? And what is my purpose? What is my mission? What does God want me to do? And mission, wanting to know what your mission is, being mission-minded, is a very masculine trait. And so I was like, okay, if I'm not called to get married, and I even thought maybe I'm not even called to have children, if I'm called to be celibate my whole life, then I was willing to. And ironically, and I say this, and at the same time, I still liked lots of guys that were around me. I was still very attracted to guys around me, and it was this like inward battle of, God, I give them to you. And I just felt like I was in this very natural battle that I put on myself in a way that was so sincere, because I just wanted to follow Jesus. I just had never had anyone tell me that being a wife and a mother is a good thing to aspire to. It is a biblical thing to aspire to. In my mind, the highest regard for a Christian was to go into the mission field. It was that same time that I was actually introduced to Elizabeth Elliot, and I love Elizabeth Elliot. I have learned and gleaned so much from her and grown so much from her. But I got a little bit confused because I wasn't having anyone disciple me. I was just reading her stuff. Specifically, it was Passion and Purity that I was reading. And at that time in my life, I had no one telling me, like I said, that being a wife and a mom was good. And so I thought that, well, the right thing for me to do is go and be a missionary like Jim Elliot. And so, like I said, that ended up reflecting in what I was wearing. I also very much, unfortunately, I was very feminine at the previous school that I went to, but at the previous school, I had a professor introduce me to Shane Claiborne and the whole socialist thing, and I got really invested into Christian socialism. I didn't know it was socialism at the time. I just thought it was caring about the poor. But following him, I ended up starting to dress very androgynous. I wore these like giant khaki pants, baggy clothes, drug rugs, and I just looked very masculine. And the entire time I was at this Christian university, not a single guy asked me out. And I'm not surprised. Looking back at pictures, I'm like, I'm not surprised. I don't look feminine at all. And I know for sure my essence wasn't feminine because I was very mission focused. I was very cold towards guys. I wasn't receptive at all. I even had one of my friend's boyfriends tell me, it's gonna take a bull of a man to pursue you. And I was so offended by that. And I thought, that is so rude. If God calls me to get married, then a man will pursue me. God will put it inside of him to pursue me. And I had no understanding of embracing femininity. And I say all of that to get to the point of, for my 20s, up until I met Scott, and even after we married, I very much was androgynous in my function. I was very mission focused. What is my purpose? What is my calling? And it actually wasn't until 2020 when I stumbled across Lori Alexander and she introduced me to Debbie Pearl, and I started reading both of their stuff, and reading their stuff brought me so much peace. It felt like all of the things that I was struggling with, they put words to. And I realized the reason that I was struggling and just feeling like, why is this so hard? Why is it hard for me to relax into being a woman? Why is it hard for me not to spaz out about things or go from 0 to 100? But I think it was because I was under stress of trying to function both as a man and as a woman. And I think that's why in our culture today, there are so many women on medication, is because we are outside of God's intended design for us, and it has caused stress on our system. Stress is so bad for our bodies, it causes health problems and all kinds of other stuff that comes from stress, from our nervous system and hormones being out of whack, deregulated, because we're trying to do too much. We are, like I said in my last video, trying to act as limitless beings when we are, by nature, by design, limited beings. And that's good. It's for our good. And so it's not for our good to encourage women into masculine roles while telling them they need to be feminine, or biblical femininity is just about being soft and gentle, but while still functioning in a masculine role. That's not helpful. It's not helpful to be like, yes, you can grind, work super hard outside of the home, exhaust yourself, and still be a good wife and a mom. And unfortunately, that's what you see a lot in videos on YouTube that talk about these topics. And I think it's because if you want to grow your YouTube channel, you want to offend as few people as possible. So you want to cast a very wide net. And so you'll say, yes, you can work outside of the home and embrace biblical femininity. And my thought is, you can work outside of the home and it's not a sin, but you're going to have a hard time and there's going to be consequences to you working outside of the home. We weren't made to juggle all of these responsibilities. And if you want peace within your home, within your marriage, the best thing that you can possibly do is move towards a position where you are not working outside of the home. That is honest, and it is a hard thing to say because we live in a popular culture that has trained women to function as men. So trying to undo that training, and even trying to say, give up that training to go do something else, is challenging, because then you have women leaving what they were trained to do for their whole adult life to come and be homemakers, wives and mothers, and they have no skills in that area. And then it's hard for them because they weren't trained to be home economists. They weren't trained to manage their household. We weren't taught many of these things. And so it's challenging. It's hard. And then you have this feeling many women have of quitting their job to come home. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not very good at this. Maybe I should go back to the job that I was good at. Or just feeling really disappointed in themselves. Like, why am I not good at this? I am struggling. Why am I struggling? And often you're struggling because nobody taught you how to do these things. I think some things with keeping a home, many people think, oh, that should just come naturally. But keeping the home, it is a work. It is a good work. And it's good to raise our daughters to see the value and have wisdom in having household skills of learning how to manage her home economy. That is education. So often, the word education gets twisted into university. The only way to be educated is to go to university. And that is just simply not true. University is for specialists. I love what Wendell Berry says. I'm reading his book. Actually, I have it right here. A Continuous Harmony. And in it, he just passively brings up topics like university. And he says that colleges and universities train specialists. And specialists are fine in some ways, but it's not great in other ways. And I was thinking, when we are putting our Christian daughters into universities, we are training them to be specialists in a certain area. And the end result is for them to get a career in that area. And then the problem with them getting a career in that area is often then they have to pursue that career to pay off the debt that they accrued to get that degree, to specialize in that thing. And then also, once you're invested into that career, it's really hard to leave that to become a stay-at-home mom, to become a homemaker, to become a helpmeet to your husband, because you've just trained your whole life to do this thing, so why would you give that up? And then comes the social shame of just a mom, just a homemaker, when you could have been this amazing position that you went to college for. And we wonder why we have so many women struggle in our functions that Titus 2 says for the older women to train the women in, of loving our husbands, loving our children, to be keepers of the home. We struggle in those things because we were not taught how to do them. We have no clue how to do them. It's shocking. It's sad. And we have more women who are college educated now than ever, and the home is the most broken that it's ever been. And it's inevitable whenever I talk about university, people get so offended. Many Christians will get so offended by this and say, well, what about a backup plan? Women need to learn how to provide for themselves in case they don't get married. And it's like, okay, well, then that's not a backup plan. That's your plan A. If you're going to college in case you don't get married, that is your plan A, and your plan B is getting married. Again, why do we have so many women entering into their 30s and even late 30s and 40s who are not married, who want to be married? Because they have prioritized their career providing for themselves above marriage. And it's so hard to talk about because it is so painful. It's terrible. It's awful. And you know what else happens? The longer you are functioning in a masculine role, the more masculine you become. And the masculine men that you want to attract, they are not going to be attracted to you because masculine men want feminine women. Most, if you ask any masculine man, they will tell you they do not care. Majority of Christian, godly, God-fearing men would rather have a wife that is cheerful and wants to be a mom and a homemaker and takes care of herself. They would far rather have that than a career woman who is highly educated, has all these degrees, and has been able to provide for herself. That was something I learned very quickly when I met Scott, was he did not care about my financial status. I thought for sure on our second date, which was our second day together, I told him that I have $18,000 of student loan debt, and I was terrified to tell him because I thought for sure this was going to be a deal breaker, and I so badly wanted to pay off my student loan debts before I met my husband, and that didn't happen. And so when I realized this could be my husband, we were under a little bit of unique circumstances. We had 4 days to talk about everything before deciding if we were going to get married or not. And so we did. We talked about everything, which was why on day two, I disclosed my financial situation. And to my shock, Scott was not offended by me having student loan debt. And he has said, because I wasn't proud of it. It's not like I was like, oh yeah, I have all the student loan debt, because I'm a highly educated woman. Instead, it was like, I have all the student loan debt and I am trying so hard to pay it off. And he's like, that's fine. I will help you pay it off. That's not a deal breaker. Most God-fearing Christian men would rather have a woman who wants to be a wife and a homemaker and helper to his mission, who's not going to compete with his mission. And unfortunately, that's what you see a lot today in Christian marriages, where a woman has pursued her own unique career. You have her, I've said this in other videos, but I think it's such a helpful picture. You have the wife pursuing her vision, her career. You have the husband pursuing his vision, his career. There are two visions, which is a division, which means they have separate visions, separate purposes, separate missions. And I just don't think that that's what God created us for. God created Adam and Eve to become one flesh. He says for Eve to be Adam's helper. We were intended to be our husband's helper so that together we could do what God has called us to do together as one, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And have you ever seen a husband and wife who are on the same vision and on the same direction and mission and purpose? And that could still be doing business together. We know many couples that have a family business and they run it together. They don't have separate visions. So yes, the wife is working for the family business, but they're doing it together. It is an inheritance that they're building for their children's children. It's generational wealth. That is helping our husband. So I think the straw man always is, well, are you saying that a woman should be dumb and that she can't work and that she should be uneducated? And it's like, no, that's not at all what I'm saying. That's what you're saying as a straw man. I'm saying that a woman can work very hard. A woman can be very educated. A woman can learn many things, far more things than most colleges teach, without going to college. I have learned so much in my last, I'm coming up on 7 years of being a full-time homemaker. I have learned so much in these last 7 years that a college education would have never taught me. Okay, so I'm gonna reference some sentences from Wendell Berry's essay called Think Little that I think has to do with this, because I once was in a conversation with a group of ladies, and this was a while ago. So if you're watching this and you know me in real life, I'm not talking about you or probably anyone that you know. This was a while ago. And I was with a group of ladies and they were all saying what their careers are and what they went to school for. And the one girl looked at me next and was like, so what do you do? And I said, I grow a lot of our food. We have a huge garden and yeah, I try to grow our food and preserve it and can it and freeze it and do whatever I can to grow as much of our food on our property as possible. The blank stares that I got, I immediately realized, okay, that's not a dignified thing to say. And I purposely did not say homemaker because I knew that this group of people would have no clue what it means to be a homemaker. So I said grow my own food because I'm like, well, like most of the year, that is what I'm busy doing and it's a good work. And I just immediately afterwards went home and was talking to Scott and I was like, it's so funny to me how we elevate positions of knowledge, but the knowledge of how to do something that sustains us, that we need for survival, that is looked down upon as if you're not educated. And it's just shocking to me. It just shows you the propaganda that universities and government, how good the propaganda and brainwashing has been, that the only way to be educated is to go through university and to have a career. But simple things like trades or knowing actual real life skills are looked down upon as uneducated or as ways that you cannot provide for yourself. It's shocking. Wendell Berry says in his essay from this book, this is called A Continuous Harmony, and he says, most of us, for example, not only do not know how to produce the best food in the best way, we don't know how to produce any kind in any way. And then he goes on further down and he says, a person who is growing a garden, if he is growing it organically, is improving a piece of the world. He is producing something to eat. which makes him somewhat independent of the grocery business. But he is also enlarging for himself the meaning of food and the pleasure of eating. The food he grows will be fresher, more nutritious, less contaminated by poisons and preservatives and dyes than what he can buy at a store. He is reducing the trash problem. A garden is not a disposable container. It will digest and reuse its own wastes. If he enjoys working in his garden, then he is less dependent on an automobile or a merchant for his pleasure. He is involving himself directly in the work of feeding people. And for some reason, we've been led to believe that that is not good work, that that is not good education, to know how to feed people. And so my encouragement is to change our language. I think we have to stop framing questions to our young girls in a way that pushes them into masculine roles and positions. I don't know how many times when I was in high school, the question was, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna go to school for? What college are you gonna go to? As if that was the only option. And because that is how it's phrased, you are led to believe that that is the only option. Now, for me, this was 16 years ago that I made that decision. And at that time, I would say that we just didn't know. If you're in your 30s, that was just the norm. We didn't quite know the fruit. We didn't know that maybe going to school for women isn't necessary. Even for some men, it's not necessary. If you're not going for STEM or being a lawyer or, you know, engineer, doctor, then you may not need to go to school. But the lie is, if you don't go to school, then you're stupid or foolish or dumb. And so something that I've been very intentional with is to not ask that age group of girls where they are going to school or what they're going to school for, because then you're automatically implying that they should be going to school, and if they don't, they're stupid. And again, this comes back to androgyny. It is raising sons and daughters as if they function the same. Both our sons and daughters are going to be providers, so we need to push them in the same direction, and you can talk to them and about them in a way that their functions are going to be androgynous. A guy can do anything a girl can do, a girl can do anything a guy can do, and that is how often our young people are spoken to. Instead of asking questions of, how do we best set you up to meet a God-fearing guy? How do we position you to where you're not going to be in bondage into a role that keeps you out of the home? How many women, and you might be one of them listening to this, your deepest desire is to be a homemaker, but because you have student loan debt, you can't, because you're in bondage to a job to help you pay off the student loan debt. It's not helpful for us to push our daughters in that direction in a way that would keep them out of their God-given design of being able to be a wife, a mom, and a keeper of the home. And we know so many testimonies of girls who did not go to college, and God has faithfully directed their steps and provided them with a husband. I actually have a video of, if I don't go to college, how am I going to meet my husband? So if you have questions about that, I have an entire video about that. I think I'll wrap up this video here. It's gone on for a while. I hope that this has encouraged you, and we will carry on with this conversation in the future. Have a lovely rest of your day.